Oh, let's see. Let's welcome the visitors right quick while Wesley makes his way up here. Okay. If you're visiting with us today, we do want to welcome you to Lake Country Bible Church and invite you to look in the back of the seat in front of you at the hymn slot there. You should see a plastic envelope with a slip of paper. We'd appreciate you filling out that little form just to give us some contact information for you. And at the end of the service, if you would, please drop that completed form off into the wicker basket just to the right of the glass double doors. Again, thank you for joining us in worship today.
I read my bulletin this morning. Good morning, Lake Country. Good to have everybody here. Let's go to our bulletin for just a moment, go through some announcements. Prayer meeting every Sunday at 9 a.m. meets back here in this back room. Of course, everybody is welcome to be here at 9 o'clock if you would like to be a part of that. Women's Bible study this Tuesday, will wrap up their study of the book of Deuteronomy. They'll start the book of Joshua on January 3rd of the new year, Lord willing. Wednesday night service, prayer and Bible studies at 6 p.m. Of course, everyone is welcome. Choir rehearsal immediately following the evening service on Wednesdays. Upcoming, save December 11th for our next potluck dinner. So if y'all have a favorite dish you'd like to share with everybody, feel free to bring that. There's always way more than enough food. And be ready to take some home with you as well. It's always a good time of fellowship. We would enjoy to see you here for that. Operation Christmas Child. So if you have any curiosities or questions about Operation Christmas Child, Jean Fox is definitely your best source of information. The shoeboxes are on the back if you want to take one with you, and she'll definitely fill you in on more information if it's necessary. Join us in prayer, please. Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to be here to worship you as one fellowship of believers. We thank you for the freedom that we have to do so. We ask, Lord, that in the coming weeks, that people would seek to do their due diligence in preserving the right for us to meet, to worship you, to do so freely. We ask, Lord, that you would guide us in this congregation, the leadership of it, that we would continue to lead this fellowship in a way that would be honoring to you and that would grow the fellowship here, that we would grow closer to you, to know you better, and to worship you as one. Lord, we thank you for the teachers that we've had this morning and Terry Posey, as well as Mike McFarland, who has come. We ask, Lord, that you continue to give them a sense of honor in the way that they seek to please you and to teach your word and to guide us into knowing you better. In Jesus' name, amen. Join me in scripture reading, if you would. Turn in your Bibles to, first, the book of Daniel. We'll have a couple of different turns here. Daniel chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. Daniel 8, 23 through 27. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully, and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his cunning he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule, and he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without human means. And the vision of the evenings and mornings, which was told, is true. Therefore, seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future. Turn with me also to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, 1 through 8. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power and his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all of the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in a blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world.
Is that better? Terry doesn't need any magnification in Sunday school. Good lesson this morning, Terry. I look out and see so many faces that I've known for a number of years, and then those that I've just met this morning for the first time. If you see somebody that you don't know who they are, go up and introduce yourself and make a nuisance of yourself, if you would. And as far as being a nuisance, I want to make one thing clear. My wife has a bandage on her nose. I didn't do it. I paid for it to be done. So, y'all pray for her. She has to put up with me. But I'm a blessed man to have her. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for grace. Where would we be without grace? We'd be lost and undone and without hope. Father, we thank you for each one that's here this morning because they truly are a blessing to me and to others. So, Father, thank you for their presence. We pray, Father, that you would have your full will and the things that we look at this morning and talk about during these times in which we are looking at end times. Father, the things that we'll be looking at today, we thank you so much that we who know Jesus Christ as our Savior will be in your presence. Father, we won't be here on this old world, this old earth, and we thank you for that. Father, we are grateful that even during this time of tribulation, people will come to know you as their Savior. And Father, their eternal life will be just as secure as ours. So, Father, we ask you to guide our study this morning. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to say first this morning, I appreciate whoever turned the air on. We're going to be looking at a world champion this morning in the eyes of the world. During this great tribulation period, it's going to be rather a unique situation. We're going to be looking at the Antichrist this morning. It's lesson 8 in our series of some probably 18. We'll wind up with about 18 installments of our study. I don't know about you, but there are many today who have superheroes. You can go about just about into any child's, especially little boys' bedrooms or in their toy boxes, and you will find examples of superheroes they have in their toy box. I just happened to run across a couple of heroes that little boys have today. I don't know about you, but those are some strange-looking heroes. And I'm glad my hero is not one that can put on paper. He lives within me, and I serve a risen Savior, my hero. People want someone during this time of the Great Tribulation, someone who will be able to come in and ease some of the sufferings they have during this seven-year tribulation. With one big pow, they want the world to be just exactly the way they want it to be. We're looking at the Antichrist, I will tell you again, and he is not a very nice fellow. We find in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. You see, we learned this morning in Sunday school, but we know that there will be many who come in the name of Christ, claiming to be Christ. There's even some on the world surface today who claim to be Christ. The world today is being prepared for its coming leader. The peoples of the world are united in the hope of a mastermind, a superhero, if you would, who will bring them as a whole into a new way of life. We have some people who take care of their pastor. Thank you. This superhero. A look at our present-day comic books, games, and cartoons reveal the trend of the world thought, which is demanding a superhuman being who in might and wisdom will rule the world. This leader will be found in the Antichrist during the last half of the seven-year tribulation, the last 3.5 years known as the Great Tribulation. What kind of guy will he be? What kind of personality will he have? The Antichrist is a person rather than a system or government. As Christ is a person, so the Antichrist will be a person. He is called the seed of the serpent. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The Lord Jesus Christ is the seed of the woman. The Antichrist is to be a mock, a mimic, if you would, of Christ. It's interesting to note the similarity between him and Christ. Christ had a 3.5-year ministry. The Antichrist will have a 3.5-year ministry. Christ is called the Lamb. The Antichrist will be called the Beast. Christ is the truth. The Antichrist is a lie. And Christ has a city from heaven. The Antichrist shall have a city rebuilt Babylon. As to his birth, he's to be a Jew. For one thing, Israel would not claim him as her Messiah if he were not a Jew. The words of Daniel chapter 11, verse 37, verify the fact that he is to be a Jew. We read in Daniel 11:37, "Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor of any god, for he shall magnify himself above all." The words "God of his fathers" can only be spoken of a Jew. only a Jew knows who the God of his fathers is. No doubt the Antichrist will claim to have a virgin birth. You see, he's a mimic. He's a subtle, false Christ. As to the Antichrist background, some of the old rabbinical writings teach that he shall come from the tribe of Dan, fulfilling Genesis 49, verses 16 and 17. We find here in Genesis 49, 16 through 17, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse's heels, so that his rider shall fall backwards. Whether this be so or not, we don't know. We believe, however, that he shall come from the country which is known as Syria. We find in Daniel chapter 9, or 8, verse 9, and out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south, Now, I don't care. Good. What about his power?
Hello?
I guess I'll keep it up here, shouldn't I? Testing. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Antichrist will possess more power than any other human being. Where does he receive his power? Well, he receives it from the devil. We find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Find in Revelation chapter 13, verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Antichrist shall be an intellectual genius. Read in Daniel chapter 8, verse 23, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up. He's going to be a commercial genius. We find in Revelation 13, verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. He'll be a military genius. We find in Revelation 13, verse 4, they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. They worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? He's going to also be an ecclesiastical genius. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul writes, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He will be a financial genius. Daniel 11, verse 43, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans, the Ethiopians, shall be at his steps. He will have all of these attributes by an experience. The Antichrist shall be a mock and mimic, as we said, of Christ in every detail, even to suffering and experiencing a resurrection. Revelation chapter 13, verse 3, we read, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. Now all the world wondered after the beast. The words wounded to death mean a death stroke. The Antichrist shall die by the sword, but shall be resurrected by the devil. Revelation chapter 13. Verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that an imp that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by sword and did live. He will be ruler over the world. Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. The literal rendering of Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 is, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. By this statement, we learn that the world shall be organized into one great kingdom before the Lord returns at the close of the seven-year tribulation. This is the Antichrist kingdom, yet it will become the Lord's kingdom upon his return to the earth. What kind of pact does this Antichrist have? Word states that he shall rise to power by several means. One of them is by flatteries. He will be a great orator. Daniel chapter 11, verse 21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably, obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Going to be a master politician. By so doing, shall rise high in world affairs. Everybody in every country will be talking about this one that we know as the Antichrist. With all Israel, This will be one of the greatest political moves any statesman or politician could make, and that is to confirm a covenant with the nation Israel, giving her a larger portion of Palestine, especially the site of the old temple. Here Israel will be able to rebuild her temple. By the way, there's already preparations being made for temple worship and sacrifice, even as we speak. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." To think about that, we could really get down. But if we know Christ is our Savior, I believe we'll be able to see all of this happening here on this earth, heaven, where we'll be with Christ. Many Bible students believe that the gathering of Israel today is a fulfillment of such scripture as Isaiah 11, when Israel shall be gathered for the second time into the land. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1 through 10, we learn that Israel as a whole will not be gathered until after the coming of Christ to earth. We find in Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 10, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I've set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all nations, whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out to the outermost parts of the heavens, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies, on them that hate thee, which persecute thee. Thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, do all his commandments which I command thee this day, and the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good. The Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. Thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law. If thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul." Genesis 49:10 also substantiates this. We read in verse 10 of Genesis 49, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, till Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." The reestablishing of the nation of Israel is not that which is prophesied. What is its meaning? Well, in Daniel chapter 9, the Lord tells us that the Antichrist shall confirm a covenant with many, not all, just says many. And as all Israel is not yet in the land, those that are there do have a recognized government, then they are the ones with whom the Antichrist will confirm this covenant. Jews are in the land in unbelief, not realizing that they shall soon be the tool of this man of sin, the Antichrist. What's going to be the nature of this covenant this Antichrist shall make with Israel? It will not be a new covenant, but rather the recognizing of an old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the law, which includes the reestablishing of animal sacrifices, etc. Israel must have a temple
in order to carry them out. Therefore, the temple site, etc., will be given. Every bit of it will be given to Israel for 1 week. Daniel 9:27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, or the overspreading of abominations. He shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. Government, or the covenant, shall be confirmed for 1 week, that is 7 years. But in the midst of that week, after 3.5 years, he shall break that covenant. At the beginning of the tribulation, everything will seem to work out all right for Israel. She shall have rest by means of the covenant. When they shall say, peace, peace, sudden destruction cometh upon them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. Jacob's trouble certainly began at this time. The great tribulation, which lasts for 3.5 years, begins. Matthew 24:21, we read, then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Antichrist pollution. Antichrist will appear first as Israel's deliverer, but the breaking of the covenant will reveal him as he really is. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. The nature of the Antichrist, or his pollution, the nature of his pollution is found when he declares himself to be God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is called the abomination of desolation. The Lord Jesus warns all Jews in Judea to flee when this occurs. Find in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15 and 16, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. The number, he shall become so powerful that the whole world will be at his command. The world will desire a dictator. They shall find that in the Antichrist. World famine conditions will demand a ration system, and they shall find it in the Antichrist. Revelation 13:17, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. He will receive his punishment. The great lie shall not be allowed to continue. The battle. The Lord Jesus himself shall contend with the Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon. This will be the conflict between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Revelation 19:19-21, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, whose sword proceedeth out of his mouth. And all of the fowls were filled with their flesh. What shall be the end of the Antichrist? From Scripture we learn that the man of sin shall be cast alive into the lake of fire. Hell, in other words, with the false prophet, and suffer its torture for 1,000 years before the devil is cast into it. We read in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, and the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. What a sad lot it's going to be for those who worship the Antichrist. They too shall meet the same judgment as the Antichrist himself. If I were you and were here this morning and didn't know Christ as my personal Savior, I would encourage you, trust Him this morning. God offers freely to anyone who simply believes in His death on the cross to be full and complete payment for their sin. God does not do anything imperfectly. When Christ died, He died for the sins of the whole world. If you can visualize in your mind this morning, all of those of us that are here, everything that you have ever done wrong individually, and we could put those into some kind of vessel. Christ suffered and died for every single one of those sins. Those sins were on His mind as He died. Christ paid the payment. God's Word tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You trust Him this morning, you can be assured, according to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, Jesus, Jehovah Yahshua in the original, meaning God who saves, God who keeps, God who protects. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life. Spend all eternity with those who know Him as Savior, with Christ Himself, the presence of God Almighty, presence of God the Holy Spirit, safe and secure from all of these things that are going on in the world at that time. Never trusted Him this morning, I would ask that you would do that. I'd ask that you bow your head and close your eyes with me for just a moment. I'm going to ask you, if you're trusting Christ this morning, you've never trusted Him and His death on the cross to get you to heaven, I'm going to ask you in just a moment to indicate that you're trusting Him and what He's done for you to get you to heaven. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to call you by name. I'm not going to get with you afterwards. But when you trust Christ as your Savior, Satan's going to cause you to doubt that in the coming days and weeks. And I've counted it a privilege to pray for you in those times, these next several weeks or months. As I go before the Lord various times during the day, I'd count it a privilege to pray for you. God would give you the assurance of your salvation. You'd never doubt it. That God would lead you and direct you in the way that He would have you go, whatever that might be. But at least you'd know you had eternal life, have an opportunity to serve Him with the time that's left. I personally believe that that time is a lot shorter than it was when I was born. And I would encourage you this morning, just simply in the stillness of your own mind, with heads bowed and eyes closed, that you simply, the best way you know how, trust Him and what He's done for you to get you to heaven. Prayer won't save you, but you might mention to God something like this: Lord, I don't have all the answers. I've still got a lot of questions. But the best way I know how right now, I'm trusting You, what You've done for me to get me to heaven. If you're doing that, God knows that. I don't. I'd count it a privilege to pray for you in the weeks to come, and that's the reason I ask. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody looking around. Would you just slip up your hand till I see it and put it down again if you're trusting Christ this morning as your Savior? God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Slip it up till I see it and then you can put it down again. Fine. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You so much for grace. We thank You for the freeness of the gift of eternal life to all those who simply trust You, what You've done for them to get them to heaven. Father, we just thank You for this opportunity to gather together and to see some of the things that we might not have understood before from the Word of God on how terrible it's going to be here on this earth after the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation period. Thank you so much. We'll be with you. Father, I ask that you would finish this time together as you would have it to bring you honor and glory. Father, we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. This ends our lesson 8, our study of the Antichrist. All right? We do have morning the Lord's Supper.